Okay, Boker Tov. Continuing with some of the halachot of tzedakah. It's ketuv kacha. We're in Siman Resh Nun Aleph Sa'if Yod. So yesterday we finished off talking about the different pedigrees, the different yochsin with regards to tzedakah. Now Maran continues in Sa'if Yod. Mi sheba ve'amar ha'achiluni en budkin acharav im hu ramai ela ma'achilin oto miyad. So, in general, although there are laws which dictate how to investigate whether a person is a legitimate ani or not, if a person comes and says, feed me, I need food, you can give him food right away, and you don't have to check if he's a con artist. Why? Because guess what? There's very little things that a person can do, or let's call it bad things that a person can do with food. You know, worst case scenario, you gave a guy who's an amai, you gave him food. So you gave him chayin nefesh. It's not like you're giving him something. It's very rare for a person to go sell the food and buy money and get money and buy drugs. It's not, it doesn't usually work that way. So therefore Chazan said, give him food. Yeah. Haya arom, uva ve'amar kasuni, budkin acharav im hu ramai, v'imakirin oto, mechasin oto miyad. However, when it comes to clothing, says, give me clothing. That already is not as essential. Over there, by clothing, it's not as essential. And therefore, over there, we have the right to investigate whether the person is legit or not. But if we know him, you cover him, you give him clothing right away. Okay, there's no bad. They're over here moving right along. Yud Aleph. Hopefully today we'll finish the siman. Rabbi Haya mitzta'ir shenatan pito le'am ha'aretz mishum dehavu shnei batzoret. During years of famine or drought, Rabbeinu HaKadosh Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi would be upset, Maran Baba Batra, he would be upset if, let's say, he gave tzedakah and he found out that the person was Am Haaretz, he gave, let's say, food to Am Haaretz, he was very upset about that. Why? Because he said, in years of famine or in years of drought, every piece of bread that goes to Am Haaretz is being detracted from the mouth of the Talmid Chacham. So he's upset about that. Halav achi, says the Shulchan Aruch, chayav l'achoyoto. If it's not years of famine, you have to also sustain the Am Haaretz as well. Like we said yesterday, if the person's not a rasha, just Am Haaretz, shomer Torah mitzvot, aval haborek. Yeah, so what do you do about that? You still have to feed him. Aval im ba lefanenu mit bara'av, chayav l'achoyoto, now he says to the other extreme, back to years of famine, let's say he comes in front of us and you see the Am Haaretz mamash on the verge of starving to death. The halacha is that you have to sustain him immediately, even if as a result you're in doubt, maybe this comes at the expense of Talmid Chacham, it doesn't matter. When the guy is mit bara'av almost in front of you, you feed him. That's not how with regards to that. Now, good. Vaita. Says the Shulchan Aruch Hala, Saif Yud Bet. Here we go. Beretev is one of the Mefarshim who brings down the very condensed versions of the Shach, Taz, and other poskim. So, says it like this. Says Maran, Shnei aniyim shechayavim niten tzedakah. Let's say you have two anim. Now, like we said, remember we spoke about in previous simanim, the minimum requirements of tzedakah, and that even anim who receive tzedakah are also obligated to give tzedakah. Obviously on a much more minimal level, but at the end of the day, remember what was the bare minimum, a third of a shekin per year. Even an ani can handle that. So now let's say you have two anim, and each of them are obligated to give tzedakah. They can swap, just like by Mishloach Manot. Yeah? People, Mishloach Manot and Matanot Levinim, people can swap. The same thing by Tzedakah, two Aniim or needy are allowed to give their Tzedakot to one another. That's the halacha with regards to that. So, says Maran Saif Yud Giman, Tzibur shetzrichim niskor rav ushliach tzibur, ve'en sipuk biyadam liten nishnehem. Now, oh, wonderful. This is Shul Halachot. Says, what happens if you have a kahal? And I don't know why they open. Right? Sometimes you see keilot or minyanim. Let's make a minyan. Okay, so they make a minyan and make a shul and make it. And then after they make it, and we don't have a chazan. So you do it. Oh, we don't have a Baal Koreh. Somebody wing it. Oh, we don't have a Rav. It's not how it works. Before you open, you have to make sure. You know, I see many, many such minyanim, and it's heartbreaking. It's not Kavod HaTzibur. They sit there. Okay, you read. Some guy gets up there, and he reads like, Yodama, Shemi Rachem Yatzi. So why are you making a minyan? Just to make it. No. That's not the order of priorities. You want to make a minyan? Plan it first. Have a rav, a chazan, a baal koreh. Make sure you have everything else in place, and then open. Don't work backwards. It's like the Adrianus Kesar told Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai in the Gemara Gittin. You Jews, you act, and then you come to ask. Mazeh. Anyway, but whatever it is, this was the story. Let's say you have a kahal, and they're only able to hire one. They can either hire a rav or a shliach tzibur. In those times, shliach tzibur wasn't separate than baal koreh. It was shliach tzibur, baal koreh, you know. So which one do you do? Do you get a rav or do you get a chazan? What do you do?
Get a rav first.
So says the Shulchan Aruch, it depends. Says like this. Yeah. אם הוא רב מובהק ובקי בהוראות ובדינים, הוא קודם. ואם לאו, שליח ציבור קודם. This is actually, here, this is from a תשובת הראש. So the Rosh was asked this question, the Shulchan Aruch brings it להלכה. If the Rav is מובהק, which means that he's a serious Talmid Chacham, he knows the dinim that he needs to know, he knows פסקי הלכות, he's strong. So the halacha is that hiring that kind of Rav takes precedence over hiring a chazan. But if it's, nice guy, right, has smika, has smiles at everybody, yeah, one of those, versus shliach tzibur, says the tshuvat harosh, quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, take the shliach tzibur, you need him more. Mata aseito. The point is, what are you going to do with such a, he can smile, he can give nice drashot, but if he's not rav muvhak, so you take a shliach tzibur. It's more integral to the minyan to get a shliach tzibur. Says the Rama. Ve'en lefarnes harav sheba'ir mikis shel tzedakah v'gnai hulo. The rav of the city or the rav of the kehilah should not be supported by the communal tzedakah funds. Even if there's money in there, they shouldn't support him from there because it's a bizayon to the rav. You give him tzedakah, he's working. Yeah. Huh? I guess it's public knowledge. First of all, the kishon tzedakah, the communal tzedakah funds, there has to be transparency where the funds are being distributed to. So everybody knows that his salary is taken from the public tzedakah funds. Bizayon, yeah. So he says, v'gam livnei ha'ir, yeah, ele ya'asu lo sipuk mimakom acher. First of all, it's a bizayon for him. And second of all, it's a bizayon for the city, for the people of the city. What are you doing? You have a rav? Show him kavod. Well, what are you paying him from tzedakah funds? Yeah, it speaks bad of the people in the city as well, that they don't value their rav. So he says, aval kol yachid yuchal lishloach lo mitzedakah shelo, shezeu derech kavod. However, what happens if a person has personal tzedakah funds? Is he allowed? So says the Rama, a person with his own personal tzedakah funds is allowed to send it to the Rav. That's derech kavod. As opposed to paying his salary from the communal tzedakah, that's a bizayon. But you having your own personal tzedakah funds and you send it to the Rav, that's considered derech kavod and that's mutar. Okay? Now, and there's a big thing. Apparently it's not new. People think, there's nothing's free in this world. Nobody gives and nobody works for free. The only people who are supposed to work for free, people think who work for free, are rabbanim, right? They think, well, if it's religious, you need to say, everything you do, everything a rav does, or whoever else it is, if it's kriya b'torah, anything that's religiously oriented, immediately has to be done for free. Ah, baba, you know, moftchol, right? You gotta, you gotta make sure you get it for free. I was an onafon. It's not right. Why? Well, anybody works for free. Mapitom. Anything that, you know, you have to pay for it in order to value it. People who don't, there's a Gaon of Mazuz, Shvita and Bnei, the Rosh Yeshiva Kisera Chamim. So he has a very interesting policy. You know, Kisera Chamim, the yeshiva, is very, very well known for their Talmidim. Besides for being Talmidim Chamim, they're very, very big Midav Tekim. They know how to read well, they know how to be Chazanim well, Kurei Torah. They're the ones who put out the Sidurim and the Tikkun Korim. Very, very Midaykim. So their Bachurim and Kolal men are sought after in different shuls around Israel for Chazanim and Baal Korim, which is very nice. You know, there's plenty of shuls, there's plenty of Minyanim who need, so they call the yeshiva and they say, you know, it's like placement and the guys want to make a little money. It's fine. So, by the way, that's how Maran Zichron HaBracha, Chacham Avadiyah, Chacham Etzion, they used to make money like that, and they make money. They used to go around on Shabbatot reading the Torah for different shuls. Maran Zichron HaBracha used to read for like 5 or 6 Minyanim over Shabbat to make a buck. You know what I'm saying? That's how they used to support themselves. Aval, and how much they used to get, used to say? Used to get a lira, 1 lira per Shabbat. For all the, for every Kriyat Torah that he did, he got a lira. I don't know how much that's worth, but not much. Rav Mazuz tells his Talmidim, he forbids them going to read or be Chazan anywhere that they don't pay. If they don't pay, you don't go. Asur. It's Asur for you to go. Why? No. Even if it's, let's say it's his father's shul or his friend's shul or whatever, he's trying to help out or he's trying to practice. The Talmud, I know a lot of Talmidim, I have friends over there. They say, no, it's good practice. I'll go do it. It's close to the house. It's good practice. No practice. Why? There has to be a chinuch. You got to pay for it. Otherwise, you don't value it. What do you think? Bachurei yeshivot, tamdei chachamim, avrechei kolel, what are they? Rags? What are they? Silicone? Right? You have a crack and you bring the silicone to seal it? Bachurei yeshivot are not sealants. They're not silicone. Right? They're the tile, not the silicone. Right, man? That's the, or not the grab, whatever. Aval, mikol makom, that's what they are. Ah, ishtabach shemo. They are the elite. They are the marble of Am Yisrael, right? So in order to instill that feeling into people, he tells them, no moftchot, right? You got to pay for it. Even if the guy wants to do it for free, you have to be mechanech yourself. What is it? How much do you think they pay? They're not getting millions. If you collect, can you imagine? You just missed it. Tell them. No more tchorim.
Why?
So. Huh? Yeah, I know. Anyway. Anyway.
What about a mohel?
So there are different things. There are different mohel also. He's not supposed to take la'alacha, but also it's nahug in Am Yisrael to give him a gift, to give him, you know, a person who moftchors the mohel also left. Not to also. Person came, asalo milah. Imagine the father himself had to do the milah. He can kill the kid. He came, did a good job, is it? A person has to give, you have to, in Yiddish it's called a shtel. To be large, you have to shtel. Why? Because when you do, you feel that you got something. Can you imagine? You know, a person comes and he reads, reading the Torah, is not pashut. Especially parasha like this week, Matot Mas'ei, almost 10 amudim in the Sefer Torah, hard words, hard to, I mean, can you imagine a guy has to sit down? Some people have to prepare all week long. Some people have to prepare for a few hours before Shabbat, on Shabbat. People spend time, yeah? It comes in, people take it for granted. Why take it for granted? People have to work in order to, so why do you say no free, you know, nobody works free in other areas? When it comes to religion, no, is that for free? The benefit. We'll spend time. See if there needs to be remuneration. Yeah. So that's with regards to that. And I think it's a very good policy. People appreciate it more. I don't think it's a big deal, especially if you go around the minyan. How many people in the minyan? Everybody gives $10, $5, whatever it is. You give a weekly donation towards the Kriyat Torah, towards the Chazan Mekmesh. Imagine there's such a difference in the tefillah of Yom Shabbat. On Shabbat Kodesh, you come in and the Chazan is good. and the Ba'al Koreh reads Chmu Ben Adam. He reads normally. As opposed to going to a shul, the Chazan gets up there, right? The Ba'al Koreh gets up there and he's reading Chinese. It's a total. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Ma piton. And what? And you get, it's a different. Most shuls. I don't know, but it's a different, it's a, again, there's got to be some sort of system. It's especially for a person like me. If sometimes I travel and I go to a minyan where it's disorganized and the chazan is ala panim and the ba'al koreh is ala panim, I feel like, you know, it takes away the ta'am from the tefillah. However, if you come to minyan, Yom Shabbat Kodesh, and, you know, everything, Sukkot Zimra is as it should be. And then, Kila Hashem Ruchai Chazan, he says the words nicely, he sings nicely, and then Ba'al Koreh reads the Sefer Torah properly with Ta'am Yamikra, reads it well. It's a totally different experience. What, a person not willing to pay for that? Nobody should pay for that.
In the bare minimum master.
Yeah.
Then everything else should be free.
No.
Why?
Because you have to pay. The best things in life are not free.
No, but I'm saying.
You have to pay. In order to feel, in order to appreciate something, in order to appreciate something, you have to pay.
If everyone gives 10% maaser, all the shul, all the
oh, they give the maaser to the shul?
Yeah.
That's a different. The same. That's a different story. Yeah. So, weiter says the Maran in the last. Lo ze emet la mitah shel Torah. Person, if you don't, whatever you don't pay for, you don't have any respect or appreciation or value for. Everybody else, right? And when you make a real estate, the guy says, no, you're my friend, do me a favor, you made a deal. No, you know, give me a discount. Is it discount baruchcha? Yeah. And when it comes to the chazan, ba'al koreh, the guy sat down, he prepared. Tell him, no, you have to muftcho. No, zalefe. Right? You have to give him kavod.
Yeah.
Yeah, so says the. So he says like this. Says Maran in Seif Yudalet. Yecholim leshanot afilu mitalmud Torah letzorech 30 peshitim lehagmon bechol shana lefi shehu atzalat nefashot. Shim lo yitpasheru imo, yesh kama aniyim shein lahem liten viyakum viyafshitum arumim. This is another Tshuvat HaRosh. Let's say tzedakah money was collected for Talmud Torah, for yeshiva, for koil, whatever it is. Let's say there's a certain place. Apparently this was a situation in somewhere in Europe where this happened, that there was a governor or some sort of whatever, however you call them, that there was a collection. They needed to give a sum of 30 shittim, which was a pretty nice amount of money per year, the Jewish community. There was a tax that was imposed on the Jewish community. Now the question is, if we can divert some funds that were collected for Talmud Torah to that, you know, to that fund for the governor. What's the question? Because over there, not everybody can give it. And if you don't divert some of the funds, there will be some anim who can't donate that, and they will, you know, rip their clothes off and beat them because they don't give it. So in order to spare the lives or the physical suffering of the anim who can't pay that tax, the Tshuvat HaRosh, as codified by the Shulchan Aruch, rule that you can divert some of the money from Talmud Torah in paying that tax so that nobody gets beaten in the Jewish community. That's the way it used to be. Either you pay, beaten is good. Sometimes you get killed, sometimes you get maimed. Like, you know, Jews were, you know, punching bags very much throughout history for the goyim. That's the way it works. No money, you're gonna get beaten. So in order to avoid that, you can divert it, even though it's already collected for Talmud Torah. Then you can send it to this fund.
As far as the community, wouldn't that?
What do you mean?
No one would be Imagine the Shah Bukhari in this town. No, there'll be no Muslim beer by the way. Oh, you kidding me? In Iran, the Jews, especially Shiites, get extorted by the Muslims?
There's like white people out there
that the Jews, the Kashuk Jews, would have to give money to the mosque.
I don't see.
Oh, I know it's the Shiites.
Okay, Tor, there you go. I'm going to say it to Shiur. Anyway. That what?
Well. I know being extorted by the way to give money to the mosque.
No, is they going to beat him up?
Is that going to be?
Yeah. So, one second. So, this is the end of the Siman. Bezat Hashem, we'll pick it up tomorrow with Siman Eshnun Bet, the laws of Pidyon Shavuim, paying a person's ransom. Talk about Moftcha. Yeah.